For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Jason Jones, who was busy covering AEW this weekend, which I got to be honest, I didn't even know that was happening until I saw you there.
Yeah, I don't thought I was covering it. I happened to already be in town, and they had reached out to me about something else, and they said, you want to go to the pay-per-view? And I'm like, well, let me see. I'm like, oh, I just happened to be in Tacoma. So went and checked it out, and, you know, there were some good matches, some good action, and, you know, of course, you know, the end, you know, they had to do something weird with Daniel.
Did they attempt to suffocate him again?
Yes.
Oh, good. That's because it worked really well the first time you did it. Let's try it a second time.
Yeah, I was just like, I'm like, if that's his last match, that's one hell of a way to go.
Jeez.
Okay.
They always just got to kind of mess things up. Like, I guess they were having a decent show, and then they always got to jump out the window.
Yeah, this time it was Wheeler Yuta's turn to get the bag and put it over his head.
Have you talked to Tony Khan before?
Yeah.
Is he all there?
He's excitable. That's the word I would use. Yeah, he's like, yeah.
Elevator don't go to the top floor, as Gorilla Monsoon used to say.
I'm not going to say that about the man, no.
Jim Ross used to say that about Ken Shamrock. Or Jerry Lawler.
Jerry Lawler would say he's not the sharpest knife in the drawer.
Yeah, we learned a lot of ways to insult our friends from professional wrestling back in the day.
Well, he doesn't have a... What was the other one? He doesn't have a full deck of cards or something?
didn't they have something with a coloring crown box or something like that? Wasn't that one of them?
Oh, man, I don't know.
I was a kid. I used to call other kids ham and eggers.
Well, it was good old Bobby the Brain.
Bobby the Brain. They were like, what are you saying? I'm like, you're a ham and egger. How would you know?
I don't even know what that means. I never understood that. What does a ham and egger mean? Is that someone who eats hams and eggs for breakfast?
You're pretty bottom of the barrel, clearly, if you're a ham and egger.
I don't know
if that meant all you could ever eat was ham and eggs. I don't know. Maybe you worked on a farm, but hey. I just knew I did not want to be a ham and egger.
Don't forget somebody getting hit in the bread basket.
No. Well, I remember when Gorilla, I learned about injuries from Gorilla because I think he said Hulk Hogan temporarily dislocated the patella tendon once. And that really didn't register how wild that was till I got older. Like, he did what?
His patella tendon?
He temporarily dislocated it. Thank God he recovered to beat Andre the Giant at WrestleMania 3 in front of 93,173 people.
Yeah. Shout out about cardiovascular conditioning because of Ric Flair, because they always said he had great cardiovascular conditioning. I'm like, I'm like 7 or 8. I'm like, I don't even know what that means, but okay, it sounds like I should have that.
Shout out to Jesse. He found ham and egger means you're ordinary.
Yeah.
Feels like slam.
Well, I might be a ham and egger then.
Yeah, I'm about to say I like eggs.
So that's what Jason was doing over the weekend. Let's go here. Like, you didn't like starting five.
I just didn't think it was, I just kind of thought it was like, oh, okay. I mean, it wasn't terrible. I thought the family stuff was cool, but like all the basketball stuff, there was just like, okay. Like, I thought, I mean, they're not going to do it, but I mean, for God's sake, all the Darvin Ham stuff that was going on last year, we don't get anything.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, people act like in Boston they weren't trying to take Joe Mazzulla's head off half the season. We get like none of that. We just get this real sanitized. We got it. It's game. Like, I mean, I get it's a TV show, but I'm not going to act like the Celtics and the Grizzlies. And I mean, the Timberwolves like in November with some clash of the Titans. I'm like, I don't even remember that game.
Now with LeBron, I think it is potentially part of the story, but like for Tatum or even Sabonis, is what's going on with Joe Mazzulla, is that's not part of Tatum's story though, right? You know what I mean? Like, no.
I think it is in the sense that part of the reason, you know, because I mean, they kind of touch on it. Can Tatum be the guy? Can he be the guy? I just think I would have loved to have seen him just kind of get introspective about, you know what? Whenever we screw up, they get mad at Joe or something like that. I mean, I wasn't expecting it. I enjoyed the Arvita Sabonis parts.
Mm-hmm.
Like that KG story about him All-Star weekend, smoking a cigarette. David Robinson, I'm better than him. That part. Cage, that to me, that part was great. I really enjoyed kind of the father son story. I enjoyed the Jimmy Butler off the. I mean, I enjoyed all the off the court stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, if you're gonna watch it, don't expect some groundbreaking basketball stuff. I mean,
I don't. As ridiculous as this might sound, one just real quick, have you gotten to the episode, Casey, with Kevin Garnett on it yet?
I've seen it. I've seen that part with Sabonis, and I've seen it, but there may be more.
But I mean, in order of the show, so you've gotten to the part where Kevin Garnett is on it.
Yeah.
So Kevin Garnett is on camera for the first time in the 10-part series, and the third word out of his mouth is MF-er.
Yeah.
Like an aggressive MF-er, too. It's like, this is the most Kevin Garnett thing in history. Like, he just appears on the show in his Celtics hoodie, and he drops an aggressive MF-er.
Like I said, I thought the Kevin Garnett stuff was great, and I just kind of, you know, I didn't expect it to be like, you know, I didn't think it was bad. I just think when you look at some of the sports documentaries out there, I think a lot of, at least for me, I want to get some stuff that I didn't know, and I think you got that on the family side, not the basketball side.
So as dumb as this sounds, I didn't think it was about basketball. I didn't think that was the point. And I know that sounds stupid, and I recognize that.
I get what you're saying.
I just didn't think that was the point. I thought the point was, you look at this dude who's 39 years old, you know, all of the expectations that were weighed upon him. He's been with the same girl since he was in high school. His kids, everything that his kids have gone through, you know, how he keeps all of that center. And then the Lakers and Kings or the Timberwolves and Celtics or whatever, those are just backdrops to tell the story of the two characters that are a part of the show.
I think they could have cut a lot of the basketball stuff out.
Probably, yeah.
And focused on these guys. I mean, of course you're going to mention it. I mean, but like I said, I didn't need stuff from regular season game number 15.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't need that stuff, you know. You know, to me, the interesting parts were, I mean, some of it you weren't going to get into in part because of, you know, who's involved, like, you know, the whole Anthony Edwards becoming a father. And then you read online now, he's like, well, that was like one of like maybe four. Yes.
Leave like, that on the cutting room floor.
Yeah, some stuff didn't make it into the for real.
Part two will be Anthony Edwards trying to name all of his kids' ages like Antonio Cromartie did on that episode of Hard Knocks.
During last season, there was the whole internet thing about the Instagram.
Send the pic.
Yeah. You know, but in starting five, he's just got this one girlfriend, and here's his first child. You know?
And he plays video games, I guess.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, I'm like, he's doing a lot more on the road than playing PlayStation. Yeah. You know, but like I said, I thought the Jimmy Butler stuff was really good about his father, because that really wasn't out there. Mm-hmm. I thought the part about him getting about friend zoning somebody was hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, there was a lot of good stuff in there. I just was like, you know,
and apparently wanting to write a country music song about it.
Yeah. What did he say? Friend zone? No, you changed time zone.
Oh, that was funny. Because I mean, did she like moved to Fiji or something? Friend zone? You changed time zones.
Yeah, that's what it was. I mean, to me, there's a lot of good stuff. To me, the family stuff was great. you know, the fact that LeBron and the, you know, because we know LeBron, we don't hear from his family, really.
Mm-hmm.
So to hear from, you know, I mean, obviously his daughter is the star of the family,
mm-hmm.
as you would expect, you know. Yeah, you know, oh, by the way, there's some construction stuff going on over here. So if you're hearing hammers, it's not my kids this time.
I was going to say, is this construction like workers or are your children just remodeling your home?
They're not doing anything. We had a little pipe, you know, pipe sewage situation in this complex the other day. Oh, so,
okay.
Yeah, so they got to, you know, thankfully I have, you know, a toilet, but, you know, I don't know about the other people. But
oh, well.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know. But I think like I said, there was, to me, there was a lot of cool stuff. Like I said, just hearing the Sabonis, you know, that, you know, seeing little Domas getting picked up by his dad. He's like, yeah, this is my little one right here.
Yeah.
And I don't think people realize how much bigger his dad is.
He's
than him.
So yeah. Gigantic. He looks like a professional wrestler. No,
he's what they tried to tell us Andre the Giant was.
Right. Yeah.
His dad is humongous.
His dad was. And you know, we always hear the stories or whatever, but just watching that kind of reminded me. It's like, man, maybe we did kind of get cheated out of not, you know, seeing Sabonis in his prime and before the Achilles tear.
Arvidas.
Yeah. What did I say?
Well, you said Sabonis. Oh, I just want to make sure people are aware you're talking about Arvidas.
Right, right. And because he didn't come over to
it'll be on Twitter. Kenny Caraway said Sabonis is injured as Achilles.
Because he didn't come over here to, what was it, 31 or 32? And that was 30. After tearing his Achilles.
Yeah, he was 30, yeah. So, yeah, we did, you know, that's why that whole Kevin Garnett scene is hilarious. He's like, yeah, I was David Robinson, whatever.
And some of the passes he was doing, like in those highlights. Crazy.
He literally talked about David Robinson like the Admiral was trash.
But so many, I think of the big men, David Robinson gets talked about the worst of
all. Oh, by far.
No, yeah.
I mean, it's like you look at David's career. He had a, people talk about him like he was Kwame Brown. Like Shaq was like, yeah.
No, well, look, I'm just going to ask you. You didn't talk a lot. I like David Robinson. I ain't got no problem with him.
That is the kiss of death.
I ain't got no problem with him. I like David Robinson. But how many, Jason, how many people talk about David Robinson like he was nice and he was a problem that played against him?
I mean, dang.
It just don't come up that way. Like, do they talk about him the way they talk about Akeem?
Yeah, don't ask Dennis Rodman about him.
What does he say?
He's like, remember the whole story that they were playing Houston in the playoffs and the coach was like, we need you to guard guard Akeem. And Worm is like, that's the MVP. Why am I guarding Akeem? Why don't you go have your MVP guarded? And then remember, he just proceeded to undress poor David Robinson that series.
Oh.
That did a lot of damage to David's reputation.
Yeah, and there's the whole part people are like, yeah, you were good, but you didn't win until you got Tim Duncan.
Nobody talks about Patrick Ewing.
I think sometimes.
Yeah, they say Patrick.
Nobody talks about Patrick Ewing.
Like, not like David Robinson.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. They're kind of dismissive.
I think sometimes you get labeled being a nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
That could all take. I mean, remember, Shaq made up an entire story of David Robinson like dissing him as a child to explain.
Why didn't even happen.
He was like, "Oh, that never happened. I just made it up to get myself motivated." And I'm like, "And David? Did David ever say anything about that? Like, I never did that."
I don't think David's ever said anything ever. Like, what was the last interview you saw David Robinson do?
I can't remember. You know,
David Robinson is not appearing on your podcast.
David Robinson also kind of gets knocked unfairly because there's nothing definable about his game, right? Like, Akeem was this, you know, the dream shake. And Patrick Ewing, he was like one of the first 7-footers to be shooting 17-footers and stuff like that. Shaq was the power. Like, David Robinson, I can't think of the first thing that comes to mind when I think of
it. The hairline's not helping him either.
Well, yeah, he just...
God, that was uncalled for.
Well, it's not. Look, come on.
No, I got to go look. Thanks,
Dave. He held on too long. There was a point where it was like, come on, David, really? Like, he was retired. He just was holding on to that military flat top. Like, he just would not let it go.
Well, I also think the fall off was pretty tough, too. Like, man, like David Robinson for a couple of years, like nasty business. Yeah, that's a bad. That's a bad hairline. Yeah, come on,
even,
man.
I'm not even gonna. Look, I'm not even gonna look at this right now because
it's not good. Yeah, it's not good.
David Robinson had a sterling reputation until Hakeem Olajuwon in the mid '90s, and then after that, it was just like everyone was just like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, I really like, do think that did a lot of damage. That series it really did a lot. Like of
well, Hakeem,
they treated him the way people treat Paul George. Mm. Like, you're good, but so what? We remember you in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Olajuwon came around Olajuwon, he had those two title years, and that's like right after that is when David Robinson starts to decline.
Mm. And so it kind of coincides. Yeah. That's not what happened, but it feels like
you have Olajuwon winning two, Jordan comes back, and Robinson dips.
And then you have that dream shake clip of what he did to him. But I mean, and people forget David Robinson was like that dude. Mm-hmm. And Dream went on a generational run for like that 2 year stretch. There was no one in the league better than him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. David Robinson, one of the greatest players of all time.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Talking about him like he was a scrub.
one of the great... You know, the comp that you always say, it's different, it's elevated, but they were like... they used to say he was like Dwight Howard before Dwight Howard. No, David? Dwight... Yeah, they said now Dwight played with a little more power and force.
I wouldn't comp Dwight to David Robinson at all.
No.
I don't think so.
I mean
I've never watched Dwight Howard and thought David Robinson. I mean, David Robinson had a little jumper and
Dwight's almost because he's not Shaq, but he was physically you know, he had the physical gifts. Mm. I don't know who to comp Dwight to, but I don't think I do it with David Robinson.
David Robinson was a real skilled offensive player.
Well, they also go ahead. My bad.
I don't think anyone ever watched Dwight Howard and go, "Man, look at that jump shot that Dwight Howard had."
Smooth.
No,
yeah, but I just think over time. I think sometimes over time, some guys' games get elevated in people's minds. Other people's guys get diminished. I think David's been diminished a little bit unfairly, in part because Tim came along, and then Tim was Tim. Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's part of it. But, yeah, I mean, let's not act like David Robinson didn't win a scoring title and drop 70 in a game and stuff like that.
Well, I really do think the fact that – and this isn't a knock or anything. It's just kind of what we remember. He doesn't have anything definable about his game. Like, if I ask you right now, how did David Robinson get his points? Like,
scored.
I don't know.
He scored.
But if I ask you how did – Hakeem Olajuwon want to get his points. Oh, man, the footwork. And did it. How did Patrick Ewing? Oh, he had that midi that was da-da-da. How did Shaq? Oh, he would just dunk on people. Like, they have these definable skill sets that Dave Robinson was just, like, really, really good. And you look up at the end of the night, he's got 36. It's like, damn, how do you get to 36?
It's like you're talking about him like that's a bad thing. It's like,
no, it's not.
He won a scoring title, but
it's not a bad thing at all. It's just what do we remember? We don't remember anything about his game. We remember the production, but we don't remember how.
I need to look at what David Robinson's numbers now because
it's tough. I'm gonna be honest. It's a little tough because remember, he starts at 24. He has a run that's really, really nasty for about 6 years, and then it changed.
Well, he still had 21 and 10
Yeah, Jason, you just picked out. Oh, yeah, that's his year for sure. But after the 25, he hit 17, 21, and then 15, 17, 14. And then it gets a little tough after that.
He never won Defensive Player of the Year. I thought he did.
I thought he did.
What, he won it, I think, in 90. Is it 92?
He won it in 92. Okay, I thought so. Yeah, Defensive Player of the Year.
He's got Rookie of the Year. He's got Defensive Player of the Year, and he's got an MVP.
Player of the Year three times.
Mm-hmm.
He got an MVP.
Yep.
Yeah, that was. But that's also the year he got, you know, Akeem did what he
well,
did to him.
Same year. Yeah.
Yeah, he we won just a forget his title. MVP year. That's cold.
Because even as an older player, he, you know, okay, yeah, all right.
I do forget David Robinson won an MVP. Like, if you had asked me that straight up, did David Robinson win an MVP? I'd probably say no.
Well, the only reason I would remember is because of what happened in the playoffs. Yeah. That's cold, man. That's tough. That's tough. I'm looking at some of these, like, David Robinson highlights, and he's a beast.
Two-minute videos?
Well, this is, to be fair, this is a top ten.
What's a longer video, David Robinson highlights or De'Aaron Fox dribbling?
To be fair to David, this is a top ten plays of his career. And I don't remember any of these plays.
I don't know how we got here.
Like a beast.
Just beating up on David Robinson. But,
well, I mean, we can always transition to the Devontae Adams trade if you want to.
Okay.
Hey, Robinson was a beast, though. These highlights.
I've got nothing. Like, oh, well.
It doesn't matter, does it?
No.
I didn't think so.
Well, it really doesn't. It's not like if they kept Devontae, you know, they were going to. I think once it became clear that, you know, he didn't want to be there and they were going to be probably even worse than they thought they would be, they're like, all right, okay, let's go ahead and just get something for him. I think my critique would be, you knew you didn't have a quarterback. Could you have moved him in the offseason and got more?
That's it. Yep.
But, I mean, the decision isn't, like, the most egregious thing. I mean, it's not like you're Cleveland and you got, like, a guy you're paying $230 million and you just traded his receiver to Cleveland. I mean, Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, I mean, it's not like Amari Cooper had a quarterback either. So, hey.
Well, you know, the other thing about that, too, is, like, I think we talked about it earlier. You absolutely could have traded him in the offseason and got more. But, you know, they wanted to see – maybe I'm in the minority. Maybe I was just dead wrong. But I was like, hey, there is a world where they win 9 games and push for a wild card spot. And I don't think that's the worst thing in the world. And maybe they looked at it too and said, you know, there is a world where this happens. Let's see if we can make it happen. And 5-6 games in, they see that they can't, and they're pivoting off of that. And I think it could have technically been handled better where you get more in return, but I don't think it's the worst thing in the world for how it's played out right now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of like, it is what it is, you know. You know, you switched to Aiden O'Connell, which, of course, yielded nothing. You know, now all we know is that now if you're Garrett Wilson or Mike Williams, you know Aaron's not blaming Devontae for anything.
No.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. He's run out of people to blame. And
my man Williams might go ahead and ask for his release because they're about to just talk about him so terribly. Mm. My man got his head knocked off trying to turn around and catch that pass.
Right.
Aaron's like, he ran the wrong route.
Concussed trying to help him out with that duck that he threw out there.
My man was wide open. And he got hurt trying to find the – yeah, I was just like, yeah, it's going to be – I mean, what hurts about watching Aaron – Aaron can't move anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just and probably an underrated part of his game in Green Bay was his ability to move. Mm-hmm. He can't move. Yeah. And then that weird story about how he doesn't tape his ankles last night, I was like, okay.
Everything about that man is weird.
I mean, I guess ayahuasca, you know, helps you with the pain.
He's such a jackass, man. Like, I cannot stand this dude. Like, I can absolutely not stand him. He's just a jackass. And, like, I will enjoy watching him fail because he's, as you pointed out, he can't blame Devontae Adams. Mm-hmm. He can't blame Robert Saleh anymore. He's literally gotten everything he's wanted since becoming a New York Jet. He's acted like a giant child this entire season. And Woody Johnson, to no surprise of anybody, just keeps giving him whatever he wants because that's what Woody Johnson does when he deals with petulant children.
He just gives them whatever they ask for, and that's what the New York Jets are facing.
Because one of my friends was like, are they going to trade him? I said, trust me. Though they lose to Buffalo, Devontae will be there shortly thereafter.
Called it.
And I was like, yeah, I mean, they're going to be the one team who will say, you know, because I mean, I guess one thing they said the Raiders weren't backing off of, they were not going to pay any of his salary. They're like, no, we're not paying him another dime. And I guess that Jets said, we'll take it. And then, what are the conditions if Devontae makes like first or second team all pro, or they get to like the AFC championship game and comes with second?
Yeah.
Well, they're getting a third because that's not happening.
That's right.
That's not coming.
And the way they look, it'll be a decent high third. It won't be like, you know, in the 90s, or it won't be like pick 90. Mm. You know, they're going to get you have a chance to maybe get someone who can help you.
Yeah, and then you look at the Raiders and everything else that's going on. I'm in agreement with a lot of people. Like, no, you don't trade Max Crosby. That's not going to happen. But you know, you do look at that entire roster, and fire sale might be too harsh of a term.
They don't have anyone to fire sale.
Well, they should get rid of the defensive lineman they signed in the offseason. Were you keeping him around?
Wilkins?
Yeah.
No.
I get rid of it. First off,
he's hurt right now. And secondly, no. He's young enough to be part of your core.
Yeah.
And yeah. You don't, I mean, they're going to have plenty of cap room. You don't trade Christian Wilkins. No, you don't.
I try to.
You don't do that.
But you're right. They do have the cap room. That was my thought with moving on from us. You want to clear the books. You want to make sure you got.
No,
cap room.
I mean you already got that.
Then you're right.
You got multiple years on his deal too. You don't move him. I think the way their roster is, I don't know what Jacoby Myers, you know, what Myers has on his deal, but I mean, you don't have like these massive contracts. So I'm like, you know what? Go ahead and move. Let's see what Trey Tucker and DJ Turner can do, and maybe you can find a running back who doesn't like the fumble. You know,
it'd be good.
I like what
I've seen. Strong quality in a running back right there. Don't fumble.
Yeah, I like what I've seen from the two young offensive linemen, from the guy who's playing tackle, Glaze, and the guard from Oregon. You know, I just think you go ahead and you play it out. Let these guys get see what you got, and you'll have cap space to fill some spots. You know your quarterback is not on the team.
Yeah, so, right. He's in the ownership group.
Yeah. And like, when Mark Davis is telling Shedeur Sanders, you might be home already. Well, I mean, I think Mark's all in on like, I think the way the NFL is, if you're not going to go out and, first off, usually the good vet quarterbacks don't become available. Your Drew Brees type situations and and all that, like the Peyton Manning, the Denver at the beginning.
Those are
few and far in between. Most teams, if you have a good quarterback, you're keeping him. Mm-hmm. He's not going to become a free agent. You get your quarterback generally through the draft. Mm-hmm. So you just watch. I mean, I'm just going to watch college football and see who their quarterback's going to be.
And Jason Jones quarterback rankings.
Yeah, it's not going to be one of these two. If it's one of these two guys next year, something's gone terribly wrong.
100%.
Yeah, and I think, you got to look at, and I think another part of the Raiders people don't talk about is that Mark got to spend some money on that coaching staff.
Break that down.
You got to go out there and get a real offensive coordinator. You got to go out. You got to spend some money.
Who dipped on them? Was it Kingsbury?
Yeah. Yeah, the king. Yeah, if you're going to draft,
he saw that quarterback room and was like, "Man, I'm gonna go work with this kid over here in Washington."
Yeah. So I mean, if you know you're going to be drafting a young quarterback, you got to go get someone who runs these spread offenses that these guys are used to, and maximize their abilities. Mm-hmm. So, I haven't seen anything, whether it was Chicago or this season, where I go, I want my young quarterback to be groomed by Luke Getsy. Then part of that is it goes back to you got to spend some money. Find one of these young up and coming quarterbacks, and you got to be like, we're going to pay you X, whatever, make you the associate head coach, whatever you wanted to call it, whatever. Knowing that if this guy is really good, you only have him for a couple of years, but you need to get someone to pair with your young quarterback. So I think now, you know, and I think having Tom Brady will help, at least with that part. I think that'd be someone they'll listen to.
Yeah. Relationships.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you think a decision has to be made on Antonio Pierce? When what I mean by that is, like, you either move on from him and try to let the Telesco pick his own head coach and do all that, or if you commit to Antonio Pierce beyond this offseason, you're committed to him for 2-3 years because you want to pair a quarterback up with him. Do you think that type of decision has to be made, or is it still kind of fluid?
I don't know if you got to make that decision, but I think it would. I think you can stick with Antonio Pierce. You get the write-off with the coordinator because Antonio's the defensive guy. Mm-hmm. I think you've got to get the right offensive guy. You got to get the right guy in there. And I don't know anyone who believes in Luke Getsy. Mm-hmm. He looked really good against Josh McDaniels last year, but hey. My man used a quarterback who was like a D4 and ate up the Raiders. So, I mean, but outside of that, I mean, you know, and I mean, I'll give Luke Getsy this. He don't have a whole lot to work with. You know, my guy, Tashawn Reed, was like, the play calling is just way too conservative. But I'm just like, I said, I agree. But on the other hand, how many INTs do we want to watch Aiden O'Connell throw? I mean, outside of Bowers, they don't have a game breaker now. I mean, without Devontae, you don't have a game breaking player. I mean, Bowers is a difference maker. But running back wise, you know, you got a guy that, you know, the Vikings didn't want and a bunch of guys who fumble. I mean, you know, you got your tight end. You've got a bunch of like threes at wide receiver. So I think they got to upgrade the skill positions around whoever they draft a quarterback. You can't give him this to work with.
That's our man Jason Jones of the New York Times, right there, the professor Jason Jones from the New York Times. Jay, we appreciate it as always.
So before we go, Kenny, we feeling good about this? About the NLCS? You know, we doing good. You know,
OMG, go Mets! Let's go. My boy Francisco Lindor, let's go, let's go.
The turncoat. You were just posing at Dodger Stadium not that long
ago. That's cap. That's cap. OMG. OMG.
Next thing you're going to be telling me that LeBron wasn't your best favorite part of starting five. You're going to lie and say it was Sabonis. I'm disgusted.
Look, man, shout out to my boy Lindor. You know, we got that big win that we needed the other day. Yeah, that's my boy. That's my boy.
Your boy, whatever.
Lindor, that is my boy.
But your boy was
broke that scoreless streak. Like, get that out of here. We ain't having that. Get that out of here. Set the tone.
You were real happy when they shut down the Padres, so.
No, I wasn't, actually. I was actually kind of pissed off.
You were texting me about that. Like, look at our Dodgers.
Oh, man. Wow.
Like I said, the media just says anything at this point, bro.
Why were you doing that? Did you going to get on the air and be like, no. We have photo evidence of you at Dodger Stadium.
Y'all ever seen me in a Dodger hat? You see me in every hat imaginable. You ever seen me in a Dodger hat? No, you haven't.
That's okay. You never saw me at a Kings game in a Laker hat. That don't mean I don't have one.
I've seen you in a Laker hat. What are we talking about?
Okay, whatever. You admitted having a Laker jersey, so.
Oh, yeah, Kobe. And I had a Van Exel, no doubt.
I've never had a Giants jersey, so.
I never had a Dodgers jersey. What are you talking about?
Whatever, but you ain't never seen me. Any picture of myself at a Giants game, I had a Dodgers jersey on. I was giving someone a middle finger.
I gave the Dodgers a middle finger.
I don't have that picture. And the Lakers. Definitely. Just smiling from ear to ear.
You're like, I love Ohtani.
Both of you guys can go to hell.
All right. Me and Jay are on our way to hell. We appreciate you, Jason.
All right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.